Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the podcast. Netflix is a joke festival. It's going on this week. There's a ton of shows in Los Angeles. If you live in Los Angeles, you should check out those shows. You know what show you should really check out? At the Avalon Theater at 9:30 on Wednesday night. Me and Tim Dillon watching Made in Manhattan. How fun is that? We're going to sit, me and Tim Dillon, one of the funniest human beings walking the planet, are going to sit and watch 90 minutes of J-Lo rom-com slop. We already got the movie approved. We're going to come by. We got some guests coming by to take shots at the movie. But I know you're going to be watching a ton of stand-up comedy, a bunch of sketch. Why don't you come watch a little Mystery Science Theater 3000 style. Watch me and Tim Dillon make fun of J-Lo's Made in Manhattan. If you think the ice talk is going to be little, you're wrong. Extra ice talk. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the podcast. You know, we got the special taping coming up in June. I know tickets sold out fast. We are probably going to be releasing tickets when we find out kind of what the setup of the room is. So stay, you know, keep your ear to the ground about that. We'll probably put it on Instagram, maybe on the podcast. We'll let you know. But we're going to release more tickets for the tapings June 13th at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. However, I am running the shit out of this hour before we tape it. May 15th and 16th, I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska, bringing Brendan Sagalow with me. June 1st and 2nd, I'm going to be at Key West Comedy in Key West, Florida. It's a Monday and Tuesday night, so if you're there on vacation or you live near there, we're going to have a fun show at Key West Comedy. And then June 5th, we're going to be at New Jersey Performing Arts Center. Those tickets are almost sold out. DanSoder.com for all the shows I mentioned. And then we will be coming up soon with an announcement, a bunch of club dates, including Batavia, including Baltimore, including a bunch of clubs that are kind of tiny that I'm going to work on a new hour. We're going to be releasing those. That announcement will happen soon. But to focus my ADD, Funny Bone, May 15th and 16th. Comedy Key West, June 1st and 2nd. New Jersey Performing Arts Center, June 5th, and then we'll see you in Mill Valley, June 13th, for the Netflix special taping. Thank you guys for watching this podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry if I interrupt this guest. That's where I play video games.
Yeah.
People don't know that. Even my best friend that I grew up with who watches the podcast was like, that's not your living room? And you're like, come on, man.
Really?
That's a bookcase for an office. You can't do that in a living room. People would think,
yeah.
They're like, what the fuck is Soder slightly special with all of his knickknacks?
Yeah.
Do you guys have, you don't have blizzards in the UK?
No, too. We don't get snow, really, hardly.
Did you have the moment where you were like, enjoy it at all?
Yeah, I went out in it, like, sort of just before it got really bad.
Did you do a circle and stick your tongue out?
No, it was fun. It's hard on your face.
Yeah, you get that wind
and
the cold.
Yeah.
Well, also, the blizzard that happened on Sunday was like, it wasn't that cold, so it was more wet than snow. So it was just like spitting on
it. It wasn't as bad. I thought, like, oh, I got to get inside, because they were saying, like, 60-mile-per-hour winds. I thought it would be people being blown around the streets.
Just watching people.
Yeah.
Because also, you're like, what is that in kilometers?
I know.
You go, 60-mile-an-hour enough to lift a human?
Yeah, I was going to order an Uber Eats and just see how he got there.
You know what's funny, man, is that is the thing where on Sunday, I had to walk the dog, during the blizzard, and I saw Uber Eats drivers, and I was like,
which piece of shit has done this?
You better be they better be handing you cash,
no
too.
Yeah.
Cash. Just don't even report that.
Well, imagine seeing a blizzard and go, you know what, I fancy a pizza.
a disc that slides in a box.
Yeah.
Bring that in the worst weather possible. Yeah, it's...
England barely snows anymore. It used to, I remember being a kid and you go like, but it just doesn't anymore.
Because I always think about like... So uneducated. I mean, I've been to London, but I think of English Christmas as like a Christmas carol.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen.
Like Ebenezer Scrooge, like fat snowflakes falling.
It used to, I think it's been about, I can't remember when it last snowed, but when it does, even if it's like this much, all the trains are cancelled. So we're not ready for any weather. Like most shops don't have aircon, so if it's a heat wave, you're fucked.
I was in London for the hottest day ever recorded. It was like summer of 2022.
Yeah.
And I was doing shows at the Soho Theater.
Yeah.
And your guys' air conditioning sucks.
Yeah,
ass.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And you don't have ice. You don't have the two most important things for the summer.
None of it. How'd you find Soho Theater?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I was working on, I was like building up the hour, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
Because it was just like every night, go downstairs, work on the hour. Same reason. I liked Fringe.
Yeah. Oh, did you do the Fringe?
I did Fringe in 2019. And you just do that hour.
Where were you?
I was at the medical school. I was at the Edinburgh med school. It was like, fuck, I forget what the name of the stage was.
Yeah.
But it was cool as fuck.
Oh, what, not Pleasance. There's Pleasance, Gilbloon, Underbelly. I was Underbelly. Yeah.
And I was in like one of the lecture halls that sat about 115 people. It was fucking cool. Haunted as hell.
Yeah.
But really cool. Very funny feeling UK audiences not like specific sex jokes.
Yeah. What would you find?
I talked about eating ass and everyone was like, you know what it was? You know when they...
Vulgar American.
Yeah, really. It made me feel like nacho cheese is a person.
Yeah, I was going, like, fuck.
Yeah, and they're like, oh my.
Edinburgh is especially for that.
Yeah.
So Edinburgh's a arts festival, which means a lot of it's rubbish.
But that's what I mean. I think if I would have cried after talking about it, they would have given me a
standing ovation. If you said I've got an addiction, and it stems from when I was six, my ass was eaten.
By my uncle. He called it a bowl of chili.
Then you were the king.
And then they go.
It's a weird place.
They just start taking back.
Yeah. We have a different system to you. So like, Edinburgh now has kind of died, which I'm glad for.
But, are you have you done it a lot?
I've done it twice with full shows. I've never had a great run. I've never been the...
I feel like, and this is just an outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
But I feel like Edinburgh... the Fringe Festival specifically for UK comics is like the UK comedy version of the CIA, where they get people who go, we can indoctrinate you pretty easy. And then you're like natural police.
You're
like a murder detective. I take some bribes on the side, but that's to keep my heat on.
You know
what I am doing? I'm putting cases in the black.
Exactly. No, it is that.
I feel that energy from Red, where he's like, by the way, this is Red Richardson. Go watch Bugatti Live on YouTube right now. The link is below. It's fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
There was a joke that I was so good that I was fucking mad at you. Like when people write jokes and you go like,
that's annoying.
Fuck you. There's like one joke I wanted to compliment you on is I saw your don't tell joke about old guys talking shit about sports. And then when you watch Bugatti Live, the joke's like completely evolved.
Oh, wicked. Thanks, man.
But the dildo line, I was really mad about you finding your sister. Go watch the joke.
Yeah, watch that.
But you watch it and you go, fuck, that's good. What a good punchline.
I actually was going to open with... I opened a tour with that. And then with YouTube, you go, they've got 5-second attention spans.
Great way you did it. Yeah. I love the way you did it with the Filipino kid playing the guitar. Yeah. But then going into it. But then, I mean, the joke about Uber and all that. And I loved it, man. I love
wicked.
That
thanks a lot. Cheers,
a lot of times I watching stand-up for me is like a rodeo. I just see how long I can hang.
Yeah.
I made it through. I mean, I watched... Your whole special.
All 8 minutes.
I watched Bugatti Live.
I watched
the whole special. No. But don't tell, I was like, let me start with this.
They're a lot of the same.
A bite size. That's it.
I know, I find.
It's a key bump.
Comedies can be horrible to watch, I find. Yeah. I'm surprised it's as popular as it is.
I'm always really impressed with like diehard comedy fans.
Yeah.
Where you could take that much in.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole... YouTube for your scene is a whole ecosystem of fans.
It's crazy.
We don't have that in England.
Really?
And I'm glad we don't. I don't think my stuff would stand. I don't think personally I could stand the scrutiny.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you can't. Like, you know what I didn't even think someone. About that? It's almost like Spartan training for American comedians. Yeah. First time I read my comments on YouTube was the second time I did Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
And I didn't do well.
Were they bad comments?
They were. Here's the thing. I bet most people, if they read them, they'd go, that wasn't so bad. But it's how it makes you. Impact on you.
Yeah.
It's just how it's like,
they can get you.
It just got right under my rib.
I get some, I don't care. They'll be like, fat. I don't give a shit. And someone will be like, this guy's not funny at all. I'm like, at all? Like, a little bit.
It's subjective.
And a guy the other day wrote, don't quit your J job. And I was almost, this is my job. You fucking
so
cunt.
Good. I want you're actually being supportive, and you didn't know that.
Yeah, I should stay doing this.
He actually told me I needed to do this.
It's funny when it because you shouldn't. And everyone goes, "Oh, I don't read the comments." Everyone reads the comments. Everyone knows.
Every single human being on because it's the curiosity of insecurity.
Uh-huh.
And the curiosity of insecurity wouldn't make you do stand-up.
No.
Unless you wanted to read the comments. But I will say, you do develop a like scar tissue over it. Where now, it's not really worth my time to go do it. Because once in a while, you catch one and you go,
ooh. There's the usual ones. And it's weird how easy you start to deal with it. But the surprising ones.
And then you know, my fiance will come in the room and I'm looking at my phone and it's got the wind knocked out of me. But it's like I'm trying to talk to her. She's like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, you eat whatever you want. And she goes, what happened? I go, I said my premise was weak.
Timmy 69 said, when does the comedy stop?
Dark Lord 54 said, I'm glad your dad's dead not to watch this. But the second comment on Bugatti Live is hilarious where someone wrote, this guy looks like he's good at bowling.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the flip side of the same coin.
Sometimes people are hilarious. I've had one guy call me John Snow Globe, which I thought was fucking good, man.
That's fucking fantastic.
Some of them are really good, that was when it detonated in my brain
You said that, where I was like you walked away. Whoever wrote that comment, I just want you to know that when Red said that, you in my head, you're the guy that flicks the cigarette behind him and it exploded. Because I went, Jon Snow, God damn, that's a great joke.
When someone does something like that, you go, he's not even a comedian. He probably could be, but he just can't be. He's too cool.
Those are the people, and this has been talked about ad nauseum, especially in the American scene, but it's true. It's the guys that are like on construction sites or bartenders or people that are always way funnier than us.
Yeah, and they write the best. I check out the comments on every video. That, you know, when you see someone, they've got a weird head or something, you're like, oh, God, why have they done this?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
It'll be like, there'll be like a really fat girl or something being like, 10 things I don't like from men. You're like, oh, no, what?
Those are the best. And the comment section has become an art form.
Yes.
Where there are people that can hit it.
Yeah.
Like,
look at like 50,000 likes for it.
She showed me a video of a dog, right? Yeah. It's a dog on the beach. Curly hair, and the sun is going, and the dog's doing that with its eyes, but it's like shot from behind, and you're looking, and the top comment's like, girl looks like she just got through a divorce, and you're like, immediately, the comment's like, bam, 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 it's great.
Yeah.
So people that act like the comment section doesn't exist, you're being an asshole to those that are good at it.
There's a guy, he's got a big head, and he sings, he's unfortunate, but it's like I can't remember what the syndrome's called.
Oh, he's got an actual problem.
His teeth are small, but he's this Aussie guy, and he likes to sing, and it's so, the worst thing is, I always check the comments on his, and he likes the one out of every 100 that's nice. So he's going,
yeah. But which means he's going through that.
And the top comment on one of his videos, someone just wrote, this guy's a sniper's wet dream.
That's great. That's fantastic.
And then someone wrote, ignore all the positive comments.
Yeah, I always think that's like, that's the part of the disconnect that people get where they go, I don't read the comment section. It's like, well, at least be honest. At least tell me that it causes you.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's feedback.
You know what it is? Sometimes it's easier to give advice when someone's not looking at you face to face.
Yeah.
But you also should take that with you know.
There's going to be some guy who goes, this is fucking awful. You should kill yourself. Don't do that. But like with the, I think in a roundabout way, they don't turn on people for no reason. It's not just
where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes.
If people are shitting on you this hard, maybe go, why do I suck?
Maybe something's wrong.
Because, dude, I've had notes. Like, I just did a podcast, and one of the comments was like, Soder needs to talk 20% less. And I was great note.
Maybe you're right.
I go, great note.
Yeah.
Because you know who hates me more than anybody? Buddy, that position's filled.
Yeah, yeah.
I got another me in my head at a desk being like, that sucks.
Yeah.
This sucks. This guy fucking sucks. So bring it.
I know. Well, they are us, aren't they?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a reflection of, it's just, you just read that and you go like, I get it.
Comedians, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a comic who has a burner account and imbues themselves on it. You know what I mean? There's so many weirdos in comedy.
I guarantee that happens. And then he logs back in to fight with that same one.
Fuck you.
Hey, fuck you. I'm trying out here. Logs back in, puts on a different shirt, comes back. Hey, everybody. It's That weekly reminder that if you're a hypochondriac, don't be. Try ZocDoc. It's a free app that if you have any kind of like, oh, my ribs hurt, but they've been hurting for a week, I should go get it checked out. Get ZocDoc. Look up a rib doctor. I'm pretty sure that's not what they're called, but they'll help out. They can find out what your pain is, and then you'll feel better. Even if you're not a hypochondriac and you're just a person that's sick and you don't want to deal with all the rigmarole of trying to find a doctor, what time their appointments are, if they're in your network, ZocDoc has that all covered. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, any of the other 200-plus specialties offers on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or by symptom so you can build the doctor team that you need to make you unstoppable. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a doctor that you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder. Thank you, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message. Hey, are you starting a small business? I don't know why I start like that. Sorry. I'm saying it. I start every ad like I'm coming in and I'm trying to take you away from doing your work. But I'm just letting you know, if you own a small business, you should be working with Square. It's a platform behind the scenes of a lot of businesses you already love. What it is Square isn't just like a point of sale. It includes hardware that gets in person and on the go. It works in person and on the go. And software for managing staff, marketing, and customer insights. Basically, if you have a small business and you use Square, it's just going to do nothing but help you. It works for one location shops and businesses with multiple teams or service areas, and you don't need an IT team or a degree in accounting. It scales with you. So if you're scaling up, it'll scale up with you and scale down if you need it to. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. And right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/Soder. That's SQUARE.com/GO/Soder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
My mate does, Josh Weller, good comic. He does, jokes about like music and stuff like that, but he gets genuine death threats. He's like, I don't know why. It's like, because you're fucking with someone's grandma's funeral song or what, you know what I mean? Like music has such, or like he'll make a joke about a film and they go, why don't you die? People like hate it.
Well, there's the emotional connection.
Yeah.
It's if you talk about music or like beloved people in a funny way, they'll be like, I'll fucking
what are you doing? Yeah.
We see that, you know, Taylor Swift. Like anybody that brings up Taylor Swift, they're like, you got a hit out on you.
Comedian in England had to call the police. This woman in Vietnam would say she's going to fly over and kill her because she made a Taylor Swift joke.
All the way from Vietnam.
Yeah, she's not going to fucking kill you. And it ends up like, she ended up talking to the parents who were like, look, she's just really into Taylor Swift. Sorry about that.
If you're on an international phone call apologizing for your daughter's murder threat, I don't know if she's just a big fan works.
It's mad.
I don't know if that's the way out of that one.
Where
she goes, hey, I, you know.
Your
friend is like, nah, I can't deny. It's she's insane. Got album. Yeah.
She's, because our fans are really nuts, though. I think people have like.
I think there's a bunch of different musicians who have that kind of, because like what you were saying, it's like, their wedding song, or when they were getting out of something, they had a song, and you're like, fuck this bitch.
It
made me feel something for the first time in 15 years.
Yeah,
that's, comics should never have that emotional attachment.
No.
You should just go,
I don't think we ever do. I don't think anyone gives a shit. Jokes don't age well.
Yeah, like I songs. Think the best I've ever hoped for is being the guy you're excited to work with at a shitty job.
Okay, yeah.
That's the energy I want to have.
Yeah,
where you're
yeah.
like going in and you're putting your apron on and you're going to go fill the ice and you see I'm working, you go, all right.
Okay, yeah, there he is.
You want to go have a smoke break and talk shit about everyone we work with?
Yeah.
Buddy, I'm very hungover. It's all I want.
Your comedy scene's way more, like I went to Los Angeles just before, I went to LA first, then Vancouver, then here.
Have you been to LA before?
Yeah, once, 2 years ago. But it's mad. Like I follow their thing on Instagram, like the Comedy Store page, and they'll be like, Tarantino will be in there and stuff. Yeah. Comedy's not cool in England like it is seen here.
Yeah, I think LA has the advantage of all the famous people live there.
Yes.
And so I think there's just like famous people want to go to see stand-up because sometimes we'll have that here in New York.
Yeah.
But it's like the cellar, so it's always the famous person is always wearing a pea coat and a Yankees hat.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, fucking Leo was there at the 8 p.m. Yeah. And you're like, cool. But they don't. Who just did a show for 11 from Stranger Things? Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay.
She came to like a show because one of the guys at SNL was on it. And the other comics are like, it truly shows what kind of animals they are because they all just freeze and like look at her like.
Really?
But like LA, they're like, hey.
Yeah, I did the Laugh Factory, and I didn't see her, but my mate was there, and he was like, I was sat behind Sydney Sweeney. She was there.
Damn. You
I just thought, what are you doing room. Here? You're Why in, are you here?
Just to fuck your game up.
Yeah.
Do you think your set would have been fucked up if you knew she was there?
Yes. Yes. Because
you would have been thinking like making a joke about big boobs.
And yeah, yeah. I just start saying loads of MAGA stuff to try and get on a good person.
You go, you know who's doing great work right now? The men and women of ICE. I'm taking myself out. Yeah, I got a flight. Yeah, she's like, this guy.
This is the best.
Take his pants off.
Yeah. But she was there with a guy. So I think she's dating that guy who was managed. The Swifties want to kill him.
Oh, Scooter Braun.
He had Bieber and her, didn't he? What a stable.
That's the guy you want to like you.
I know.
He comes in, he goes, have you ever thought about joining the Illuminati?
Yeah, yeah. No.
I have thought about going publicly crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That would be. Yeah. But because I did a soap advert in the UK, and at the same time, she was the American. So she was, it was the Dr. Squatch soap.
Okay.
And we were like, my mate was like, why don't we stay and see if she knows that you did the English? I was like, let's just leave.
Because
I would have been going up to her going, so you know you did it. I was the UK you in a way. And she'd be like, I don't know who the.
Or you just lead her the handshake and go, Sasquatch soap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
she'd
yeah.
Go, okay.
Well, also, they sent me her bath water because they had the, you know, oh, the. Yeah. So I got three bars of her bath water. I could have said that.
Could I go, that's great. You go, now I'm going to drink it.
Yeah.
Say we touched. Just blow her head up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm not washing this until I drink your bath water.
Yeah. Oh. Good to put a face to the bath water. Sydney.
She's like, okay.
What the fuck is this?
You know, it's crazy. You don't smell like your bath water.
No, at all.
And that's from the drain? Yeah. She's like, oh,
talking about.
Yeah, man, I probably think one of the worst existences would have to be an iconic sexy lady.
What, trying to
just
what,
be out in public?
Stand-up. Yeah.
Just to be out in public.
Oh.
Just like,
well, cuz everyone wants to fuck or kill you. It's horrible. Right
over they go, I need you as a trophy.
The amount of even sort of average looking female comedians get there in boxes.
They get death threats.
Imagine being Sydney Sweeney.
I mean, it's got
to
be.
The things people want to do to you. It's like being president.
I think through your Sasquatch relation, Sydney Sweeney should give us her Instagram and let us go through not. The requests.
No.
The hidden requests.
The hidden requests, yeah. That's the really deep part.
I want to know the crazy shit. Sydney Sweeney, let Red and I read your hidden requests on Instagram. And we'll unredacted.
So many cocks.
Oh my God. Well, I can't wait to. I'm gonna run through her hidden requests through Dick, Gladiator when his hand goes through weed. But it's just random, ugly, weird, bent penises.
Be like Sharknado, just with dicks.
You go, there's a dick growing out of this dick. Yeah, her inbox. Any like really hot girl's inbox.
Yeah.
That's a great way to blow up someone's life. It's just to show up at their house and be like, here's your husband.
Do you remember fraping? I was thinking about this the other day. We used to do it in England.
I don't like that aping part.
Fraping, yeah.
No, anything with aping, you know. Now, this just sounds like a different flavor of.
Yeah. It was basically a trend. You'd leave your Facebook on in someone's laptop, and they'd go on and go, I need 8 cocks in my mouth right now.
Shout out my friend Brian.
Yeah.
This is how old I am. I was in college when Facebook came out, and you had to be in college to join it. And that was like, you had to sign up with your university email to get a Facebook profile. It was brand new. Dude, when that shit hit the market, and you went home for Thanksgiving or whatever, and you'd be like, are you on Facebook? Oh, yeah. And I'm like, because for once you could show profiles of girls that you knew to be like, yo, check out how hot this girl is. I fucking friend this girl on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I got framed.
Yeah.
By, we're at my friend's house and I log in and my friend watched me log in and then I logged out and then I left. And then like I fly back to Arizona where I was going to school and I would always, it wasn't, you didn't have smartphone. It wasn't on your phone.
No, you didn't.
I literally had a flip. I had a phone.
You could go 3 days with it up.
I signed on to Facebook and a girl that I had like a major crush on, I saw her name in the inbox.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm like, this is it. It's happening.
Yeah.
Why is she? And I click on it and the message is, that's really great. I'm here for you anytime you want to talk. You get coffee. And I'm like, I'm still thinking like, oh, I got a shot.
Yeah.
And then I look and my buddy wrote her like, hey, I'm having a hard time telling people this, but I'm gay.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And I really, but he wrote it in like a sentimental way. And then he copied and pasted it and just went to girls that I was friends with and just dropped it.
Oh.
So I had messages from girls that were like, this is brave.
Yeah.
And you had to be like, no, I'm not gay. I actually want to fuck you. I want to fuck you.
And then now like, they
sure
go,
you do.
Now they're going to go, oh, not only is he not gay, he's also so immature because this is his friendship group. You know?
She goes, that's your. And by the way, Brian was my smartest friend. You go, it's my smartest. And you go, it's actually pretty smarty thought to watch me log in. And they go, no.
It used to be Facebook would be like, tag a friend who's gay. up until my early 30s, it was still the best joke in town.
It really worked. I mean, I still think it works.
It's still good.
It still works.
I think it's still going to be funny. I don't think,
a mention of your name and like drop your friend. Name that really needs gay sex today. And you're like, but I think that's what we broke. Like, I think if you're under the age of 30, you don't realize that Facebook was everything we have now, all condensed.
Yeah.
And then we broke it.
Well, it was
and then
a we joke. Like, yeah. It was fucking like the internet was literally chat rooms. Me and my mate go on, and you just start a fight with someone in fucking Romania, and you'd be like, your country's dog shit. And then it'd be back and forth.
Or you're 12 and you're like, age, sex, location, like on AOL, and you'd be like, do you want a cyber?
Yeah.
I remember telling this girl, I was like 21, and like my mom's like downstairs cooking dinner, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a 21-year-old guy. I love sex. And the girl was like, yeah, let's have sex. And I was like, oh, we're typing. And then she was like, ooh, my underwear is full of cum. And I go, women can't cum like that. she was like, what? And I was like, I go, or can they?
Yeah. Just kidding.
Oh, shit. My mom's cooking dinner. I got to go.
Yeah.
You're a fucking pedophile. I'm 12.
It was the boomers joining ruined it all because no one was on there. Journalists weren't on there. It was like when Twitter became a thing, suddenly people had it. So politicians started. You know, before it was literally for us to call each other gay.
That's it.
That was the only reason.
It's a giant place to go. Look at this meme someone made. You're gay.
Yeah.
Move on.
And then suddenly it's winning elections and stuff. Yeah.
The cops came in. Yeah. And they were like, hey, cool party, guys. They came in with a beer and they go, oh, this is where everyone's friends hanging out.
Yeah,
and then you go, that's a psyop. You're not real.
Yeah.
You're not a real friend.
Yeah.
Hey, we're TurboTax.
Yeah.
Follow us. Why? I don't want to talk about taxes.
No, it's been ruined. But I don't know where it goes from here. I wonder if the new kids will go, this is so lame.
Yeah, it's going to burn off. Well, we've talked about that a bunch on the podcast of like, kids are going to respond in a way that we responded to stuff like
flares.
lead in the gasoline.
Yeah.
Like that shit ruined our parents. That's why boomers have no emotional control. I bring it up all the time because you go, once you realize, look up, for anyone that's curious, look up the Duke University co-study with Florida State University on the toxicity level of lead that was in paint and gasoline in the United States in the 70s.
Yeah.
All the movies of the 80s make sense.
Okay.
Because it's all, they're doing coke and they have lead brain.
Yeah.
And they're like, what if they just killed everybody? And they're like, yeah.
And then they were raised by people who went through a war, but they didn't go through the war, but they just had the residue of it.
Exactly.
And then they like, sort of,
your parents, I mean, we had Vietnam.
My dad is a World War II is his religion. They say about England, they go two religions in England, NHS and World War II. But my dad, in his mind, England is just some jolly, if we just dig this tunnel under there and did it, none of the fucking like concentration camps and the Boer War or any of that comes into his idea. It's all that's cycling sweet. Through a village.
Yeah.
You know, old lady solves a murder. You know what I mean? It's that sort of, ignore everything else, you know? Yeah,
in his mind, he's like, well, we're going to go save these people. Yes. We're the best in the world.
You know,
and you go, what about all the colonization?
Of course. We taught Indians cricket.
Hello? Yeah. And look how they're doing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is like, you know, that is the one thing that I love about the Olympics is that you can remove everything and just go like, I want my country to beat the shit out of this country. Yeah. And that's all I want. In a game with rules that are going to be monitored. It's just like safe war where no one gets hurt. And you're like, fuck you, Norway. And you have no problem with Norway.
Yeah.
But if we're cross-country skiing, those sons of bitches of the Third Reich. Take them the fuck out. No,
it's so true.
Yeah. And it is like, I think that's what...
With the World Cup.
The World Cup's going to be...
So like an England flag, weirdly, like... Outside of football, a lot of people would go, oh, that's like a racial statement. If you put up an England flag or, you know, St. George's cross on your house, you're kind of, the implication would be like, this guy hates black people. But it's a shame because it shouldn't, but like it's come to sort of for some people to represent that. And it like,
well, that's like always the thing that blew my mind when I would see like, protests or whatever, and they're waving like flags that aren't American. You're like, fly the American flag.
Yeah,
own it.
Yeah,
hey, we're American.
Well, that's the thing. If you just you can say the flag can mean like racism, or it can mean the fucking Beatles, or you know what I mean. Like, it's, what are you talking about?
The American flag can mean baseball.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing that people don't realize is like it's. There are so many people that are stupid that they only go off what they see. Mm-hmm. Where they see and they're like, you're mad. In both ways. They could be like, that guy's racist. And meanwhile, he's like, I'm just proud of England.
Yeah.
It's like your dad.
I love
like,
the NHS. Free
healthcare. And there are guys where you fly around and you go, I feel like that guy's... Now, so for us, what we have is the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Where people go... Southern. Where they go, hey...
Yeah.
I'm letting you know something without letting you know something. Yeah. And anyone that tries to go, it's just sweet Dixie. It's like, you guys tried to overthrow the government and you lost. Don't tell me it's somehow patriotic.
Yeah. It's because you couldn't keep slaves. Yeah.
They go, no, it wasn't. It was states' rights. Yeah. And you go, bullshit. That's the one benefit of the Epstein files.
Yeah.
Is it just shows you all the little crooks and things they hide behind to go no that's about
each
you go,
side has ignored involvement.
That's
the
thing.
Left are like Trump's in it, the right are like it's all Clinton.
And
yeah,
you're like, you go, well then get them both.
Yeah, get them.
What if we get them both? That's what Pam Bondi recently was like, if we went after everybody the system would fail.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
time for a new system. It looks like
build something up because
if all these fucking pervs are running it, get the fuck out of here. And then there's people that defend it where you go, buddy, I don't think you're listening out loud to what you're saying. You're straight up defending pedophiles.
Yes.
Being like, oh, so they want to do business. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's like, how the internet is so... Now they're like, oh, there's trap doors that went out to the sea and Epstein would feed kids to sharks. I don't know how much is real anymore.
Tim Dillon did a fantastic job talking about the Epstein files. And he shows the shark door and he's like, who's going through the door? and you're like, yeah, I want to know who's going through the door. Also, that's crazy. That's a James Bond villain.
Well, he's a billionaire. He's
a James Bond villain.
The resources.
No, just being like, feed her to sharks.
Yeah.
No, damn.
Is that real? How real is that?
Honestly, at this point,
we don't know.
I think it's very real.
Yeah.
I think it's very real. It's like the first time I saw Snatch and Bricktop gives the speech about pig farmers.
Yeah.
And I went, that feels real.
Yeah.
That feels like if you wanted to get rid of a body, six hungry pigs. And he says that thing, he's like, bite through a bone like butter.
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet that's a real thing.
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah, a shark door.
And what, you just throw?
I don't know. Listen, I know this feels a little apathetic, and maybe I might have Mike cut this out of the podcast. But in a way, these people that are detached from humanity like that, it's a garbage disposal.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a sink without a garbage disposal?
Mm.
I don't know if you have them in the UK. We have the, you know, these things where it's a switch and it's a blade at the bottom of your sink and it goes, and it just grinds everything up.
Yeah.
But, you know, that,
crazy.
If you saw that and then you went back to England, you'd be like, well, I want a garbage disposal.
Yeah.
So Jeffrey Epstein's at another pedophile's house.
Because how do you get that?
Is that a shark door?
You see, you don't have a shark door?
He goes, I got the, I'll give you the guy's number. Yeah. He's showing it as he's opening it. He goes, this guy, and you know what's great? He works quiet. Mm. You won't even know they're in the house. But yeah, it's just like an open door to the sea.
Fucking shark
door. And you go, I don't know. The casual friends of Jeffrey Epstein.
It's mad, isn't
just
it?
Just trying to get a movie made, and you go, oh, that's a shark door.
But how do they meet each other? How do you find out someone else is a pet? You go, you just on the off chance.
But to me, everything I'm reading, it looks like the pedophilia was like the VIP lounge. Where like there were people that were partying with Epstein where they're like...
It's like a Diddy party.
Yeah, where they're like, this is just... Same thing with... There's parallels with the rooms. Diddy parties. Where you go, oh, I'm at the party, everyone's wearing white.
Mm.
Now the lights are off, everyone's on round beds covered in oil taking ecstasy.
Have you seen that video when Diddy comes out and it's the daytime? And he comes out on the balcony with a megaphone. He's like, oh, the kids have got an hour to leave. He's like, it's like the fucking purge.
I just took a fucking bite.
Yeah, he's like, it's about to kick
I just took a boner pill and I'm wearing white silk.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty obvious what's happening in about T-minus 13. I need everyone who's little to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It also just sounds exhausting.
Mm.
You know, I'm an alcoholic. I loved your joke about quitting drinking and loving sugar.
Yeah.
And then you're like, for that week of that, then I'm like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
But it's true. You just like love sugar. I'm so glad I'm not a sex addict. It's the worst one.
Someone had a good joke. Is it Glenn Wool?
He's unbelievable. I love Glenn Wool.
Yeah. He had a joke about Russell Brand, and it was... He said, I've never met an addict, because they're talking about his rape trial. He goes, I've never met an addict that didn't steal the thing he liked.
That's a fantastic joke.
I can't remember exactly how he put it. I butchered it, but yeah, it's so true.
Glenn Wool's the fucking man.
He's great.
But yeah, that's an addiction where you go, oh, you'll blow your whole life up.
But people do, and well, the weirdest ones are the sex addicts who don't drink or anything.
That's always been the one to me where I go, ew.
Yeah.
So you're like in that zone?
But you're also in the bars and everyone's drunk and out. When you're sober, the worst thing to be around is drunk people.
I don't podcast with people that just woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stick a mic in there and go, hey, we're talking for an hour. And they're like,
what?
I was just with my grandma.
Yeah.
I was just flying kites with my grandma. Why are you in my face? And me and Mike got giant lights. Hey, we're trying to sell ads.
Yeah. No, it's a tough, tough decade for the sex addicts, I think.
Yeah, well, everyone's waking up and going like, wait a second.
Mm.
You guys are all friends and you're doing worse things.
Yeah,
because that, like, getting invited to the VIP section of the Epstein thing, where he's like, so, do you like kids?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a couple. And they go, right.
How he got Andrews, the fact that, where were his handlers and stuff like that?
Horny Prince Andrew was.
Yeah.
And he was like, get off of me.
Yeah.
I gotta fuck some teens.
Yeah. No, I just, because he's clearly been played and he's got arrested last week.
Yeah, you guys are actually doing something about it.
He might be, you know.
They're actually going after
his brother's just hung him out. He's been, fuck him. You know, he's kicked him out, taking his title. So he's just Andrew now.
But I appreciate the royal family for that.
Yeah.
The just pure backstabbing out in the open. Only England could go.
Kill him.
Yes. you guys are the only country that get. We're like, that's my brother. Mm. I made a lot of good shit with him. I love him.
Yeah.
England, you're like, take it. It reminds me of the scene in Braveheart where he's like, Shane and I was talking about the scene where he's like, fire the arrows. And they go, sir, that'll hit our men. And he goes, it'll hit theirs too.
Like, is that long shanks?
Yeah, dude, you'll get business taken care of.
Yeah,
but we're not doing anything. We're going like, well, we're still going. We're rubbing our hands, going, is it everybody?
But who? Because the thing is, what does it mean to be in the files? Like, there's comedians in the files.
I'm in the files.
Oh, really?
I swear to God,
that's amazing. Line up
from Comedy Central's Comedy Underground with Dave Attell.
Yeah,
he was hosting it. I'm on the lineup. Pete Davidson and I are on the same lineup, and Pete. texted me the picture, and he goes, look at this lineup. It was me, Pete, Kurt Metzger, Dave Attell. But there's a bunch of comics. Mm. Lewis, Big J, a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
Because they're seller lineups.
That's so funny.
Because he lived here. So they were just sending him like, hey, here's who's at the
comic. I'm getting closer.
I might have to kill you. What you don't know is my fiance is a Mossad-trained assassin, yeah. And you will be taken out the second you go in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, that's the thing where you go, I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So I feel like I could have been caught up in that shit in my 20s if they were like, if you meet this guy, he's pretty important.
Well, he's a billionaire. And it's like, he was like, who's not going to party on an island with a billionaire? There's a British comedian called Michelle DeSwart. She was a model out here during 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm familiar.
This is true. She did, she's done a whole routine on it. But her modeling agency got a call on 9/11 from Jeffrey Epstein, because they're all like 15. And he's like, I have a plane. the models on your books want saving on my plane. So he was going to rescue them from
9/11. That's so funny. Jeffrey, who should we get? He goes, young, hot 15-year-old.
Yeah, yeah,
we need to go save them.
He just sees the plane going.
Quick,
he goes, fuck, I need a plane full of teenagers.
I need a plane full of young, nubile girls. Please.
His first thought, not his mother, not any relatives.
Kicks her out. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, sir, please. I'm your loyal house. I'm your maid. Get out of here, bitch.
Yeah.
Go by the middle school.
It's fucking...
What do you guys need? It's 2001. What's in right now? I think iPods. Get him an iPod.
Imagine fleeing 9/11, flying out of New York, and, you know, buildings have collapsed, and then you just turn around and Epstein's just pulled his cock out. Yeah, oh, fuck.
Oh, God. Well, we got out of that one.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What's also... One of the worst, you know, obviously, these guys are pedophiles. They should all burn in hell. They should be publicly executed. I'm always like, the part of pedophilia that blows me away is that these guys can have with kids and then still hang around them. Where they're like, what are you doing? What's that? And he goes, don't touch that. Don't touch that.
Who are the Rolling Stones? Oh, you wouldn't get it.
Prince Andrew upset and being like, you stupid bitch. You don't know what I'm talking about.
That's Mick Jagger, you fucking idiot. Yeah. Did your dad never show you the Stones?
Oh, yeah. Your dad's got shit taste in music. Yeah. Maybe if your dad had better taste in music, you wouldn't be getting... Right now. Yeah. You go, Jesus. But there is like that thing of like, so you're so horny, you're gonna fuck kids and hang out with them.
That's crazy.
Dude, when I'm around my cousin's teenage kids, I'm like, yeah.
Well, even like a 24-year-old, you meet now, you're like, you just shut up. You know what I mean?
Dude, they were just at the comedy cellar last week. There was like three 22-year-old girls right to the stage. Pretty.
Yeah.
I say that mean. Pretty.
Mm.
Ruin the show. He was there.
Yeah.
Ruin the show. They're just like talking and they go, and then remember when I went up, they were like, yeah. Like I was going to be like, and I was like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
No. And they're like,
no.
It's the worst when, because a drunk woman can ruin a show, because the problem is men want to be put down. Like you have a group of men and they're like, they'll come and go, it's my mate's birthday. Can you call him gay? And
Facebook him in real life.
Yeah. Women will go and they'll be like, it's they're at the show, but they're also the show.
They're adding to it.
Four glasses of wine, and then you'll say something to one of them, and they'll start crying. And then the fucking other friend will be like, you piece of shit, she's an angel. And the problem is you can't carry on, because the minute they start crying, it's an unblockable move, because no matter how much the crowd hates them, suddenly it's a crying woman.
Yeah, you're hurting a wounded animal.
I did a show in Bristol in England. It was this tiny room. It was like 40 seats. You know, the crowd is kind of pitch black. This woman's just ruining the show. And I said something to her.
Aura frames. What's your aura? No, we have an aura frame. I love an aura frame. It really is one of the most futuristic things you can think of, where you go, oh, digital pictures that are uploaded from your phone. That's some stuff that someone from the 90s, it would make them bleed out of their ears. That you're like, you're doing what? And you're like, yeah, you can just see the pictures immediately. I can send it to my mom's house, and all of a sudden, boom, a picture of me mooning her shows up at her house, which is hilarious. Why didn't I even think about that? I really need to do that. I need to send her one. That would be so funny. I'm going to send her an aura frame, and then just it's Myrtle's butthole the whole time. New picture of Myrtle's butthole. Named number one by Wirecutter. You can save on the gifts that moms loves for Mother's Day and visit AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $25 off their best-selling Carver mat frame with code SOTER. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com, promo code SOTER. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Chubbies, it's chubby season. It's time to get those bathing suits out. It's about to get hot, and you know where you should go? Chubbies, because they got all types of... Listen, if you want to show thigh or not show thigh, Chubbies is the place to go, man. They're great swimsuits. Of course, I got my first pair when we were on the Fully Loaded tour with Bert. Bert hooked us up with a pair of Chubbies, and I was like, dude, this shit rules. I love it. Better fit, extra pockets. It's got that worn-in feel like it's a bathing suit from your childhood, but not about ready to break. It's designed for comfort, built for stretch, and designed to give you thigh-high confidence. Whatever you're getting dressed for your workday, a workout, or summer vacation, Chubbies has got you covered. And for a limited time, Chubbies is giving our viewers and listeners 20% off your order with our code DANSOTER at ChubbiesShorts.com. That's code DANSOTER at ChubbiesShorts.com. Support our show and tell them we sent you. Don't blend in with the crowd. Stand out with Chubbies.
If you love comedy that keeps you guessing, playoff hockey is right up your alley. NHL on TNT has the best coverage, and it is just as entertaining as a great stand-up set. Paul Bissonnette is hilarious on the panel, and Wayne Gretzky breaks down the action like a pro. Every game is intense, with overtime and big hits that make every shift matter. Studio coverage adds to the fun, making it the best place to watch. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HBO Max.
The crowd is kind of pitch black. This woman's just ruining the show. And I said something to her. And everyone laughed. You know, I got an applause break. And then I carried on. I went to carry on. And then we just heard. And I just was like, oh, for
coming out of the darkness after a punchline where there was just like a lull.
Just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And it ruined the gig.
Yeah, because you hit a punchline.
And I'm like,
and you know, I said broccoli, more like your pussy's on fire. Yeah. And then it stops and you go, oh.
And I'm like,
excuse me, who's the wailing woman? Excuse me, this ghost of a woman is in your fucking comedy
you
show.
You try and do other bits. You know, anyone been with Uber recently? Are they getting worse, or is it just me?
Going into a bit after you made a woman cry, you go, I'll tell you what's crazy right now is the stock market. I don't even know what's going on with this. And she's like, ooh.
And she's still crying.
Yeah.
No, so that's the worst.
I used to always like never want to have conflict with the audience member. Mm-hmm. So I'd always be like, just let it, they're talking.
Yeah.
I'll just let them carry over. And then I got really into kicking people out.
Mm.
But it's harder. I'm doing a theater run, which is ending in April.
Yeah.
But clubs, it's so easy to kick people out.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you, out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Theater, you're like, it's dark, and you're like, who did that? Mm. Kick them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where are you? And then they got to get down and walk down.
Walk down the aisle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With their flashlight. You're
How do you do it? Because I always find it, I don't kick people out. Because when I do, well, I have done before, but the problem is you're no longer the fun guy. Do you know what I mean?
So, a way around this, something that I saw Patrice O'Neal do back in the day in New York clubs was someone would be talking, he would engage with them, he would like shit on them, they'd keep talking, they kind of wouldn't catch the point that this is over, the interaction's over with, and they start to ruin the show. And then you go, hey, can you be quiet? They keep going, and then you go, you know what? I'm going to pay for your bill. How many people are with you? And they're like, oh, four people pay my bill. He's like, great. I'm paying for your bill. Please leave. I've taken care of your bill. I don't want you at the show. And I watched him do that in awe.
And would he actually pay for the bill?
Yeah. And I've done it.
Ah,
and it works.
Really?
It's worth the money to pay the bill to have a better show.
What if they've ordered like 8 bottles of Cristal?
You talk to the manager and you go, maybe police the room a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing your job for you. But if it's like a lot of the times club managers will be like, I'm sorry, we told them to shut up. They wouldn't go. And you're like, fine. And most of the time club managers are like, we'll comp it. Don't worry.
Okay.
We'll comp it. But I think I was in Virginia Beach it was like hot. I kicked this woman out. She was a problem. I did that though. I was like, I'll pay for your bill. I get off stage and the waitress just hands me the bill and you go, very fair, very fair. Yeah, you put the credit card in there and you go, you know what? Live by that. But that is the, if you're gonna run that play.
You got to risk it.
That's what happens. But it keeps the energy good.
Did you gig with Patrice O'Neill a lot then?
No. I only watched him.
Yeah.
I met him less than 10 times.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't boys with him. My friends were friends with him, but I was a... You know, this is like, I was here 07. He died in 2011.
Yeah.
I maybe had like 4 experiences hanging with him. Too good, too negative.
Okay.
He was just it was like depending on how you caught him.
I watched the, was it Comedy Central that did a documentary on him?
Yeah.
Bill Burr's.
Yeah. Comedy Central.
But yeah, it sounded like it could be, if he decided to go for you. I watched
him fuck people up.
What was the two bad with him then? Was it
Both bads were after the goods.
Yeah.
And then I heard Colin Quinn explain it on Opie and Anthony where he said, Patrice is up in heaven right now making 50% of the people feel comfortable, 50% of the people feeling uncomfortable, and then he's flipping it. Like, he used to love to do that. So if you thought you were comfortable, he'd be like, he would just fucking...
What? Yeah, just go for you.
Oh, God, one time, it was after the first time. First time I met him, talked to him, I was by myself at the bar at Stand Up New York. And like the show had emptied out and he was on the show and he was just sitting there. We just had a conversation about porn.
Mm.
He was like, who are you watching? And I was like, I'd like name the girls. And he was like, I remember him being like, he was flipping through New York Post. And he was like, okay.
What, like respect?
Yeah. I like named a couple girls and he was like, yeah, I fuck with them too. And then we were talking. And then he was like super nice. Cause I was by myself. I was doing the check spots. I was just drinking a beer by myself. And he was really nice. And so I'm like 20, 30, and I'm like, I'm friends with Patrice now.
Oh, yeah.
And I like grew up loving Tough Crowd in O&A.
Yeah.
And I come back in and I see him against Stand Up New York. I go, Patrice, what's up? And he goes, what the fuck?
Really?
Patrice, what's up?
Really?
Who the fuck are you? And I was like,
oh. Yeah.
And you're like a new comic? Like, okay.
Oh,
so I just went outside, smoked a cigarette, like, fuck. But you kind of learned.
You're saying in your head over, but why would you fucking say that, you idiot?
Yeah. We're talking about ladies. Sexy ladies together.
Even I saw Bill Burr talking about him. He goes, sometimes I'd walk in and I'd see him, and if he hadn't seen me, I'd walk past, because sometimes I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah, that was like the ball busty scene. I caught it on a much lower level.
Yeah.
I caught it on it fading out.
I did The Stand.
Yeah.
And it was one of the guys from that group.
Rich Voss?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great.
But he walked in and the MC was there and he was like, oh, you fat fuck. And I was like, this is straight away exactly what I've heard.
It's what
about
you want.
Yeah.
And it is fun. It is fun. I made Colin was last night. Colin was at the, we were at the Cellar or whatever. And I made fun of the MC and I was just like, his dead, lifeless eyes, black eyes, a doll's eyes. And I get off and Quinn's like, you fucking call him Josh.
I fucking love it.
I'll fucking make a fun of him. But you're like, that's what we grew up loving.
Yes. Yeah.
We joke around now, like me and Lewis and Joe, and we joke around that all those old O&A guys and like Tough Crowd guys were so vicious to each other that it's like, you know, old boxers.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen old boxers where they like get punched and they go out quick? Like Chuck Liddell, old UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, your chin goes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we were joking around that their ball-busting chin goes. So you got to let them punch you and you're like, whoa, you guys are so good. And then you land a hard one. You go, I didn't mean that. Get up.
Do they get sensitive about it?
I'm not going to name names. But I've had private phone calls with a couple of them being like, that don't fucking come in there fucking swinging like that.
Really?
Like, yeah.
That's really funny. Because
you go, I did go a little hard in the paint.
Yeah. It's funny hearing them talk about it as well. They're like, you couldn't even wear a t-shirt without getting destroyed. You know?
Dude, it was true.
Yeah.
And by the way, that culture, even after Patrice died, stayed alive for a little bit. I wore, and I've told this story before, so I'm sorry if you're hearing it again, but I bought with like, I got a little bit of money from being on MTV2.
Yeah.
Like that was like my first paycheck where I bought a couch and then I went out. I was dog sitting for Bobby Kelly. Mm. And so I was up in Hell's Kitchen and I walked by an Adidas store and I was like, look at this hoodie. It was like a hoodie. It was blue, but like changed colors on the arms. And I was like, shit looks sick. But it was striped.
Yeah.
It's just a striped hoodie from Adidas. And I walked into the cellar and I went up the steps of the cellar and it was like pretty empty in the olive tree. And Sherrod Small and Joe DeRosa from the back of the room were like, what the fuck is that sweatshirt? And I was like, what? And then just, and then everyone jumped in. Norton, Keith, everyone's like, that fucking sweatshirt stinks. Keith was like, you look like you're shoveling trash on the side of the road. You look like a chain gang member. And then I saw that and I was like, I wore it in the house twice more and was like, this is fucking
done now.
Yeah, it's just, and that's what they meant. I got a bad haircut one time. Oh man, I'd walk. I remember one time Sherrod tried shitting on Nick DiPaolo when I was at the cellar, and he's like, Nick, what are you doing or whatever? And Nick's just sitting there and he looks up and he goes, shut up, you look like a retired Celtic from the Boston. And everyone's like, oh shit, you do. And everyone's laughing. Sherrod was a little overweight at the time. It was great. But yeah, it kind of, what killed it was the mid teens. When everyone started getting real sensitive.
Everything became very sensitive.
Trigger words.
It was funny watching, and I used to listen to Opie and Anthony and stuff, for sort of my generation to suddenly have that and go, wait, what? I thought this is what you did. You know what
I mean?
That's
exactly the feeling where you're like, no, I don't really hate him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you made fun of him for being black, and you go, yeah. This is my friend.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make him, I wanted him.
And it didn't help anything. You look at now.
It didn't create.
The pendulum's going way back the other way.
You fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You guys held it and you're like, let it go.
Stop, bang. And look at us now. It's just.
You're like, you wish for ball busting.
Yes.
You wish for ball.
Yeah, it didn't. It made everything worse. It was a pressure valve. It was like, and then it just fucking, everything's gone bang.
Maybe the ball busting was what was keeping those pedophiles alive, where everyone's going, yeah, look at this guy. This guy. Kids, am I right?
I really do.
I fucking do.
One thing, we're back to that, but Ghislaine is not, she's kept her mouth shut.
Have you seen the theory that she got spotted in Canada?
Oh, I saw Blonde Lady.
Yeah, that. Yeah, all right, let's take it down both roads. The first one is absolutely would make sense.
And they think they've seen Epstein in Israel.
Absolutely would make sense. If both of those people were not imprisoned at all because of all the blackmail that they hold on everybody. By the way, this isn't an American problem. This isn't an England problem. This is a worldwide problem. So get your fucking, you can take your flag down. No one's coming after your hot dogs or fireworks. We're talking about the elite having a cabal of control over the entire world. Of course they would let him out.
Yeah.
Go get out of here. We got a fat heroin addict that kind of looks like you.
Yeah, we're going to kill him. He's going to hang himself.
He wanted to hang himself. Yeah. We gave him Narcan.
Yeah.
So we could make him look like you to kill him.
Yeah. Just don't post on social media.
Don't go to the Oasis reunion. That's the only thing. But Ghislaine, you were like, yeah, that's her. Like, you saw that video, and you're like, that was... And she, when the lady comes up, and she's like...
Ghislaine, she goes, no.
Do you think you'd have a hard time if you were hiding, and you, like, got jaw surgery, you know? So you, like, have, like, Squidward, handsome Squidward jaw, and then you, like, shave your head, and if someone came up and went, red.
I'm Harry. You're
like the dog in the Odyssey, where you're like, I know that person, I can't recognize. You're like,
yeah. It's horrible.
You go, please. But I would immediately crack.
She was hanging out at someone's house. Do you remember before they arrested her? She was staying at someone's house. I can't remember. I think it was, and she was just living there. Up? And I think she's all over the news. And he probably sat there one day just going, I think you got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, imagine your Cato Kaelin is Ghislaine Maxwell. Kaelin's like in Showtime. He's in like Cinemax porns and doing bad movies.
What's
like,
he doing now? Is he still?
Yeah, I think he's around. He'll do like.
You know, he was nearly Jeff Daniels in Dumb and Dumber. So he says. He says he's down to the final.
That's a Hulk Hogan lie. That's got to be a Hulk Hogan lie. Because I've watched too many behind the scenes of Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels talking about it.
Yeah.
That's like. Hulk Hogan, I don't know if you know, he used to make these lies that were easily.
Well, you could go.
He said they wanted me to be the bassist in Metallica.
That's so funny.
And they just asked Metallica. And Metallica was like, no.
What? But it's weird.
And we were also Alcoholica for all of the 80s, and that wasn't true.
So
that Hulk, like saying we're such blackout drunks that we even know that didn't happen.
What do you mean that the?
Well, they said that to Metallica. Metallica was like, no, that wasn't even kind of true.
I see.
And they're like, oh yeah, you sure you didn't forget because you were drinking? And they're like, No.
But he's also famous enough that you think, why do you need to lie? You're Hulk Hogan. You know, you've done enough. It's like Obama being like, oh, by the way, I'm a...
Did I ever tell you? I was in SWV. I was in Sisters with Voices. Yeah. They couldn't call it that because I'm a brother. I'm not a sister. I was the fifth member of En Vogue. That'd be great. Obama, Hulk Hogan lying.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this. I almost stopped 9/11.
Yeah.
But I was too busy at practice with En Vogue. Ghislaine Maxwell hiding out at this $1 million home paid for in cash? Who was it? She was hiding at a 156-acre property in New Hampshire.
Awesome. Sounds good.
But it was paid for in cash through a limited liability company. Of course it was. Damn, it really is under a company. Because you know whoever's that rich that owns that was like, get my fucking name off.
Yeah, of course. I don't need this shit.
Just being like, turning on CNN on the giant sectional couch.
Yeah.
And you're like, room with windows on it. And you're like, Jeffrey Epstein's been arrested. And you go, you know him.
Yeah.
Isn't that your buddy? And she goes, yeah, we have
Jeff.
Jeffrey?
I remember him. I think the amount of selfies that they all took as well. It looked like they were like two girls traveling Europe on their gap year. It's like Trump and Epstein. It's just, and Clinton as well. But no one Googled him. Why did no one just go, maybe I'll Google this guy? Because he was, when did he get convicted? 2004? First?
The first one, I think it was in 2008.
It was an argument in school.
It was a high school. It was two high school girls
you're
fighting.
You're a whore.
Yeah, and she goes, you're a whore.
Fucking this billionaire. What?
Yeah, he gives her money for massages. And they're like, what? And then they found cash. Did you know that?
It was two girls
in a Florida high school.
Mm.
I swear to God. They started, I think it wasn't in Hollywood, Florida. I forget where it was, but they were at high school fighting. And one of the girls was like, she's a whore. She's a whore. She's like, she's not a whore. And then the girl was like, no, she gets paid to give massages. And the teacher went through her bag and found like a bunch of cash and was like, where's this cash from? And she's like, oh, this guy that I just give massages to. And they were like, okay, well, you're 15. Yeah. Who are you giving massages to? And she's like, Jeff.
Jeff.
Just going like, Mr. E.
Yeah. Did Trump meet Melania through that?
They're gonna kill off, with his lawyers on this case, they're going to kill off any. We'll never know.
No.
We will never
But his
know.
Fans completely ignore it.
Yeah.
They're like, have you seen
they're
that? Have
it.
You seen that rapper, Tom McDonald, who's Canadian? He's like a Canadian-American.
Can I tell you there is, I don't know, man, because there's people, you've heard of the term Anglophile.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that? These are Americans that are obsessed.
With the UK.
The UK, they love the British culture.
They think it's all Downton Abbey and stuff.
They think it's all Downton Abbey. They want to speak properly. They want to speak the Queen's English. They want to do all this shit. I've always felt it as an American that it's like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like that. America is such a melting pot of culture that you can pick different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a WASP in New England, well, sure, that's like an Anglophile. You can get traces of English culture of that. But like selling your soul for another country,
we have it in England now. So there's a lot of people who love Trump in England.
Why?
But they're like, they think they act like they're patriots. You're like, no, you shit on this country every opportunity you get. You ramp up how bad it is.
Yeah.
And it's also really funny. It's sort of like they just it's this bizarre like. It looks pathetic. It looks weak, really. You know what I mean?
Listen, it's the same way that liberals that are obsessed with Mom Donnie and they don't live in New York City. It's like, you're fucking embarrassing.
Oh, there was a lot of that in England. They went, my mayor. And I was like, you live in fucking Shropshire.
Shut the fuck up. Your mayor is a fucking guy with fucking welts on his head.
Like one of those
old British mayors. It's like, today is Toad Day.
Like,
you're not, Mom Donnie's like a little kid from Queens.
Yeah.
And also,
wasn't he a rapper?
Probably.
Yeah.
Here's the rule about New York City mayors. Once you get elected, we all hate you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the rule. Fuck you. Why aren't the roads clear? Fuck you. Why isn't MTA cheaper? Fuck you. Why isn't all this shit? It's how New York runs. Mm-hmm. It's a giant fucking machine. It's not Sweetville, Indiana, where the mayor's just a guy. Well, he's a cobbler and he just wants the best. It's like, this is a machine. Liking our mayor or opposite, disliking him. Because that's happened. I was on the road and people are like, how you doing with Mom Donnie? It's like,
nothing. It's the same.
This exact.
My bus is 5 minutes later than usual.
Where's your dumb mayor?
Yeah. Liking politicians to that extent is fucking pathetic. And Trump's managed to do it. But we had it in England. There was a guy, Jeremy Corbyn, who was kind of, I'd say Bernie, but not. He was further than Barney, you know. So yeah. he kind of like, but he had this huge fan base. So Glastonbury Festival, they would all he went.
Yeah, I know Glastonbury.
Yeah, and they all would chant, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." But it's when they do that, you're like, this is so pathetic. You're chanting for a. Yeah.
You're friends with the cops?
Completely. Also, what it does is you can no longer think objectively because you're blindly chanting someone's name. So actually, he should be held to task by his individual actions, not just this round package deal.
You know, it's so obvious now who's grifting to what side.
Yeah.
And I think it used to be people were a lot better at it, mm-hmm. like hiding it and being like, no, this is how I can feel and mm-hmm. I'm convicted to feel this way. But now it's obvious like a grift.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you're going to be loud about anti-Trump and you're going to call Trump fans stupid and dumb and shit like that, then don't be over here being like Obama was the man. He drone struck Yemen in a way that
was
you're
some
like
wedding.
There's just women, there's just people that were like, it was the best day of my life until I heard a and you're like, I take you to be my wee. What is that? And it's like and just that noise, and you're like, don't.
You get it in comedy on both sides. People on the left who can't do comedy, so they'll go, words of violence, this is offensive, because they can't do it.
They can't do it.
And there's people on the right who can't do it who are going, you can't do anything because they can't do it.
That was the thing I said when Trump won, is I was like, all those people on the right that were like, I'd make that joke, but I'd get canceled. Well, he won. What do you got?
You're now.
And then it turns out it's Capone's vault.
You're now the house dog, open it, you know?
There's nothing in there. They go, I just wanted to call gay people the F word. And you're like, well, just admit it, and that's fine. But it really is. It's like funny watching English people be into Trump.
Yeah.
It's funny when like Canadians move to the United States.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about politics. Mm. You know, I had John Oliver on, and he was like, and I was like, at what point do you feel weird talking about another country?
I know.
And he said, it was through marriage. He was like, I lived here long enough that you became we. And I was like, I understand that if you live there long enough and you're in the culture, but also don't forget, you can close ranks.
You
can be like, you're not an American, buddy. There is that. Like, English do that. Every country can close ranks and go like...
Of course.
So if you're going like... If you're not from a country and you're anti-immigration... buddy, that ain't going to fucking go well for you.
No.
And that's what you see now with all these people that are like... Cuban community that was pro-ICE. And then ICE comes around and like... Come on.
Well, I came here 2 years ago. And so in England, the view of Trump was that it was like this white supremacist. All his followers were white sort of hicks. And you get here. And the first thing I saw was this disabled guy in a wheelchair. And he's black. And he's just covered in Trump merch. And I'm like, okay, so it's a black disabled
it's
guy.
It's a cult of personality.
Yes. That's a feeling.
He is the best at getting people to blindly follow him, which is going to be, and the punchline is, and for anyone that's like, fucking Soder got political, blow me, dickhead. It's in our laps every fucking day, every waking minute. I'm going to have opinions on it. I promise you, when Trump dies, just the way the Democratic Party died, when Obama was out, they had nobody left. They had fucking skeleton Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And then super cop Kamala Harris being like, I'm actually a cool cop. You're not. Yeah, bitch, get the fuck out of here. What a horrible.
Well, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton's I
did a lot of fucked up shit in the 90s.
The Clintons did so much fucked up shit.
Well, look at them.
Go look at their policies. I'm talking about from a policy standpoint. What the Clintons did from 92 to 2000 is criminal.
Wasn't she? She was a big, anti-gay marriage.
They were fucking, they went so hard on people, and people forget, and they go, he played the sax, and didn't, first off, fuck him for not inhaling.
Yeah.
Pussy, who takes a puff of weed and doesn't inhale, you fucking dork?
Yeah.
But it happens. This is what happens in politics. You get these people that are lightning rods, and then the real shadow movers get behind him and push him. So Trump isn't even the problem. It's the people around him that are doing all the fucked up shit. But when he dies and he's gone, you think J.D. Vance is going to fucking take that? That uncomfortable guy who's like, oh, hey, everybody. Shut the fuck up. It was the exact same thing. It just switches back and forth. The left will probably get a guy that's very charismatic and, you know, brings people in.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have problems because of him.
Yeah.
Now, are the problems going to be as bad? I don't know. But that's the whole thing is like people The internet's got people thinking second to second instead of like, this is long. This is a long. Also, England's been around thousands of years. We're hitting 250.
That's crazy.
And people are going like, feels like 1,000. Yeah, like everyone in America's like, this feels like we've been around for 1,000
years. I watched the bits of the Kid Rock Super Bowl.
Who didn't?
And that guy, I'm obsessed with this guy. I've never heard of him. He's got like a million followers. He's obviously a big country.
Oh, the guy there. Who
I just want to catch my fish.
Which sounded like kiss my fish.
Yeah.
I just want to kiss my fish.
But he got up and he said, Charlie was shot just for giving people a microphone. Just give him a chance to say something. Now yeah. I got mine.
just like, oh, my God.
But that's, I think, what in England, that's the view of what Trump, that guy is who everyone assumes is, you know what I mean?
I mean, they're not wrong, you know? It's like, dude, Kid Rock in 1999, greatest shit in the world.
Yeah.
Kid Rock, fucking Devil Without a Cause. Every high school football team was playing that album.
Really? So he wasn't very big in England. We knew him because he was married to Pamela Anderson.
Sure. He was like at the time, the definition of like, fuck you, I'm going to fuck shit up. And everybody was like, yeah, it was awesome. Devil Without a Cause is a
cool. Do you see the workout video he did with the...
So that's the whole point, is that he gets older and you go, no.
No. And he looks like a meth head.
Well, what's crazy about him is he grew up very, very rich. He grew up insanely wealthy. His father owned...
Same with Rage Against the Machine as well.
Yeah, I don't know about Rage. Look up, I don't know if Tom... I mean, they all went to Harvard and shit, so
yeah,
they definitely had money.
Yeah, one of their dads was... I might be wrong, but yeah, go on, sorry.
Yeah, this is what you always do, though. Follow the money.
Yeah.
Just follow the money, and then you realize Kid Rock's dad owned, like, a bunch of car dealerships.
Really?
Yeah, he, like, grew up... You should see the house he grew up in.
Really?
He, like, had a tennis... Like a tennis court and a swimming pool.
Nice.
And then he just grew his hair long. He's like, I'm from the trailer. And you're
fuck the system.
But at the time, it fucking ruled. That's why.
Well, he looks like a pimp from a movie that like Nicolas Cage has to kill because he's got a 15-year-old with him. You know what I mean?
You're like, oh my God, a white pimp?
Yeah.
This is crazy. White pimps usually are just, you know, hire planes of 15-year-old girls to leave the island of Manhattan after it's been attacked. But it is like, oh, Rage is upper middle. But
listen,
you look behind art. Here's what a lot of people don't realize it's really going to hurt your opinion of a lot of artists you like. Very few of us made it on our own. Very few of us slept, you know, with no money, windowless rooms, just trying to do comedy, and then got a break. That's why I think we all feel lucky. A lot of the times when people were like, where did this guy come from? And you look it up, you go, oh, his parents were wealthy, and they could just front a ton of money for them to be. Have you ever found that out? Like with an English comic where you're like...
We got people who are like oligarchs and stuff, kids and stuff like that.
But a lot of the times, I'm fine with it if you're upfront about it. But if you do like that Kid Rock shit where you're like, I'm from the streets...
Yeah. Well, so he's pretending to be like, I think because with rap, you can't really do that.
Can't be like, I grew up rich as fuck.
Well, no, but like what he's doing is a contradiction. Do you know what I mean? I don't know much about his music. Was it like sort of.
Yeah, he was like talking about like, this is for the people in the trailers. This is for the people that are on meth.
It's like if Eminem turns out his dad was Goldman Sachs. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be
my friend, shout out my friend Mark, my friend from college, but we always joked around about if you found like Eminem birthday pictures and he's like cheering in crystal champagne glasses with his dad in like a Mercedes Benz, it would ruin everything.
Yeah.
You go by 8 Mile and you go, holy shit. Someone very talented came out of this. It makes it better.
People love that story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And even like, you know, people from the suburbs, that's even impressive. If you go and make something of yourself.
Where did you start in New York?
I started in Tucson, Arizona.
That looks amazing. Is that with the... I swear, I Google images. I always look at that place. And they've got different colors. All the buildings are painted nicely, different colors.
Tucson's not that nice.
I've got the wrong place.
Yeah, Phoenix.
I'm thinking somewhere else.
Arizona. Oh, you think you're thinking of Sedona?
There's like, it's in the desert, but there's like big cliffs all around it. And then all the houses are painted like purple, yellow.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Sedona.
Okay.
I think you're thinking of Sedona or Flagstaff. Because Tucson and Phoenix are painfully desert.
Yeah.
Where you go, the desert is all around you. But I started there But I was just like a middle class. I grew up in the suburbs, and I went to college and started stand-up there.
And what
but I had
it
a
like
dad start? That was just, you know, I just had a shitty father.
Okay.
So that was my touch to white trash.
Yeah.
It was like I'd go visit my dad and be like, holy shit. But I never, I didn't realize it.
Where did he live in Arizona?
Northern California.
So you were born in Arizona?
No, I was born in Hartford, Connecticut. And then my family moved to Colorado.
Okay.
My mom and I moved to Colorado when I was five.
What was that like?
It was great. Colorado's the shit.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
It's great. It's like beautiful. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s in there where you could live in a single mom could have a 3-bedroom house.
Do you see any bears?
No, I've seen bears in Alaska, but I've never seen them in Colorado. That's the thing. We don't realize how land-wise.
Yeah.
You go to England and you guys
we're tiny.
You guys are like the size of Maine.
So I went to Vancouver. I was doing a show there, and I was going to go to the island, Vancouver Island, and I was like, oh, it'll just be... In my head, we'd drive around in a boat in like 20 minutes. And I found it was like 6 hours from... That's what it takes me to drive from London to... I get to Scotland in 6 hours.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's the crazy thing about Europe is you can get on a train for 7 hours and you're in France. And you're like, what the
so
fuck?
So we're tiny. We also,
does that make gigging easy?
Yeah, but no matter where you are, the time it takes is always... Like 4 hours is... You reframe how your brain thinks. So for you guys, maybe 4 hours is nothing.
That's nothing. I mean,
for us, it's huge.
That's here to DC.
Yeah.
Or here to Boston and the other way.
Yeah.
You know, the other way, you're up in Boston in 4 hours.
Like, I'm doing a gig this Saturday, and it's 3.5-hour drive, and I've been sort of toying with pulling it for the last, like, 3 days in my head. Because you just go, oh, that's 7 hours round trip.
That is really funny because I have a show in Boston.
Mm.
I don't know if this came out after. Thanks for the great shows. But I have a show in Boston. The next night I have a show in Philadelphia. New York's in between that. We're driving. I'm driving up to Boston to see her family, bringing the dog. And then the morning of the show in Philly, we're going to drive Boston to Philly.
That's
6 hours.
Yeah.
5.5, 6 hours. Yeah. So for you, that would be like, are you going to Spain?
I did a UK tour, and most nights where I drive home.
Really?
Yeah, we drive back from even Liverpool. I mean, that was stupid, but it was 6 hours. I just may as well get back.
Sure. And do you live in London?
I live in London.
Yeah. They opened a Top Secret here.
Yeah,
very,
I did
very
it.
Fun.
Did it on Saturday. It was
That's
good
a
fun.
Very fun club.
Have you done it in London?
No.
So in London, it's fucking amazing. It's great. It'd be great here too, but they got 3 rooms, so you can just do 3 shows really quickly.
That's always what you want as a comic. They go, like, we have 3 different opportunities for you to bomb.
Yes.
And you go, great.
But they've got, what's funny is in one of the buildings, there's 2 rooms. The upstairs, everyone bombs in, and then the downstairs is the best room. Like, you just, the problem is you'll kill so much there, and you go, oh, they've got a new, and you don't.
Yeah.
You don't have a new
ticket. Oh, you have that false inflation?
Yeah, but it's so good downstairs. Then you go, it used to be that you do upstairs first, then downstairs. So you'd bomb, then leave, you have a great one and leave. Now they do it the other way around. So it's sort of like you end up with this.
Where you go, oh, I feel great now. Yeah. I'm going to leave, walking out. That happens. There's a club here, The Stand.
I did
Stand
that.
Stand is great. That downstairs room is one of the best rooms in the country. It's just unbelievable. That full feels great. And then sometimes you go upstairs and just leave being like...
I've heard that's hard, that room.
Yeah, you can leave being like, well, there's always tomorrow.
Yeah.
Taking a lot of walks home because of that.
Yeah.
I live just far enough that it's a little much of a walk, but I go like,
it's good you guys walk. LA, I just can't get into it with the sort of...
Driving?
The fucking Ubers. People get a 3-minute Uber, and an Uber will pick you up for a 3-minute trip.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Wait till the Olympics are there. That's going to cause some shit.
What about the World Cup? But I suppose it's spread out.
Yeah, World Cup is like, they're doing the road trip thing where it like starts here in New York, and then it goes to like Chicago, and then they're doing a game, and then the finals are in L.A. The World Cup final is going to be in Los Angeles. The Olympics.
Do you guys give a shit? You don't really.
We do. We would if America was a lot better.
Yeah, okay.
If USA was like a powerhouse in the World Cup, we would give a massive shit. But that being said, we have a lot of fans of football.
Yeah.
Of English football.
It's getting bigger here. I mean, even when like Messi joined into Miami and you start seeing like Kim Kardashian's there with her kids, you know, okay, well, Beckham this is crossing.
Beckham really fucking did a lot. How big was... I don't think we understand the scope of how big he was in England.
He was as big as... the Queen, you know what I mean? Massive.
Like Michael Jordan big.
Yeah, we have, but the thing with Beckham, he's amazing at football. He was never the best. It was just the brand, and he was brilliant, but he wasn't like, would he be in top 5 all time? No. No, you know.
Who would you put in the... I only know... Here's what's fun about video games, is you can learn about sports very quick. Like, I have friends in the UK that play Madden.
Yeah.
But they don't really know about football, but they know how to play Madden.
Yeah,
and you go, you get it. That was FIFA for us.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember playing with Scholes. Paul Scholes was
He was great.
His speed was off the charts.
Yeah.
So you just slam that, you just hit circle, like, fucking go.
Who would be top? I'd say Wayne Rooney.
Yeah,
Gerrard. I mean, Beckham was fucking brilliant, but Lampard, Scholes, great.
See, that's the difference.
Harry Kane, Shearer.
I guess we do it with Jordan, where we go Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, but everyone's really like it's Jordan.
Who would your Beckham be? So imagine Beckham was never like there were seasons where I think he came like third in the world rankings and stuff, I think in like 99. But he was just a very good-looking guy who got married to the pop star of the UK. So it was kind of this royal. And the press had a love-hate thing with him. So everyone loved to say he was a fucking idiot. And do impressions of him. And they kind of, they'd have like, their wedding was like, ogled, but like, look at these, you know, working class, they don't spend money at all. Give them money and look what they do with it. You know what I mean?
Garbage idiots.
So it was kind of like, you know, like his and hers thrones. And so they were sort of this like institution. But now, I mean, the kids are all fucking, well, the one over
Brooklyn
here,
doesn't talk to him.
He's a little fucking...
It's always funny.
Dick.
I think it's his wife.
Yeah, she looks like a cat that's been thrown in the bath. She's just like, yeah, an expensive cat.
But her, I think what you're watching is, and what the inevitable Netflix documentary will be, is you're watching her versus Victoria Beckham.
Yes, of course.
Because I think
this
Brooklyn.
Dumbass. Yeah. I'm going to film myself making a sandwich. Why?
Yeah. And then David Beckham's like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I got caught cheating once. Yeah. Just leave me alone.
I think it's probably more.
Yeah, I know. That's why he's like, he goes, I want that to remain where it's at.
Yeah.
Keeping that number low.
Yeah.
But you do, like, you wonder, because there's always a real story behind these situations. Yeah. And then you read, like, she was a problem with her ex-boyfriend I saw. And then they're like, and then for that drama to get to me, I can't imagine how big it is in the UK.
Yeah.
Because you guys want that stuff. Listen, what we found out is, and this is why the Trumps and Obamas and stuff are so good at politics. Rage baiting works.
Yeah.
It sells shit. If you get people pissed off, and that's what sucks. We got to get away from that. We got to go back to like, how about we just make good stuff? But that's boring.
I think we're done with good stuff now. I think it's over.
It's like trying to get pedophiles to go back to missionary.
Yeah.
I know you fucked a 15-year-old model, but what about an age-appropriate woman and you're face-to-face with her?
Yeah, it's...
It sucks. I want to go back.
We want the big... I mean, like, I watched The Godfather the other day, and I was like, this just would never... The first scene's 20 minutes long.
It's quiet.
Yeah, let's do this in a minute.
Well, they don't... And it's also like the thing they say about Netflix, that Netflix tells people when they're making movies, like, hey, keep saying in the dialogue...
What the plot is.
What the plot is, so people...
It's hard being a Spider-Man.
Did you see the rip with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon?
What was that?
Like they're two cops, but they...
Oh, that's a new film they've been doing a press tour for.
It feels like a parody.
Really?
Like, it feels like... When I watched it, it felt like they were like, let's fuck with them. Because every 5 minutes, they're like... Don't you understand there's a ton of money upstairs and a lot of people are coming to get it and we don't know who's right and who's wrong. And you're like, right. And then the scene happens.
Plus, I've gotten a divorce.
And my lady died.
Yeah.
5 minutes later. Don't you understand there's a lot of money upstairs? And you're like, do we all have amnesia?
Yeah. God, I wish you didn't have a drink problem.
And my lady's dead. Yeah. And then it, you're like, I don't like this as a movie.
No. Because there was a clip of them saying that. I think they were on Rogan talking about that. That they get all these notes. And it used to be, Matt Damon was talking about how it used to be like there was a set piece and then set piece at the end. Now Netflix is like set piece 3 minutes in, da da da. Because we can't be trusted anymore.
Because the phones.
Yeah.
They got us.
Yeah.
Whatever the phones.
I haven't read a book in years.
I'm trying, dude.
It's
terrible. I'm trying back in.
Why isn't this glowing in my face?
It feels like jogging.
It's crazy.
It feels like jogging. You're like, get out there and you're like, I'm out of breath three.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know I got to keep going to do this more, but it's just so good. They got so good at the programming.
It's crazy.
I catch myself at least, I'm not joking, at least five times a week going, why am I scrolling?
Well, it's completely, I was with Mike before this and he said he's deleted apps off his phone. And he said the reason was he was waiting for a train. And he's just watching a man tightrope walking, and he goes, why?
It's why?
Like, what's the
I was like, I remember I got on a flight or whatever, and I was looking at it, and the first thing is a blue baby being brought back to life, like a dead baby. And it's like, I opened my, Reddit, and it's like a guy slapping a baby's back, and the baby being like,
Yeah, and you're like,
I don't know, why am I watching this?
And this mad, I've got in this algorithm on Instagram, it's these cat videos, but it's like AI.
Yeah, dude.
And the ones where they cheat, on the cat starts cheating on the cat with the gorilla. Like,
with the horse?
Yeah.
She's cheating with the horse and he's cheating with the gorilla.
And I watched like 30 of them in a row. Yeah. Like, I haven't done, what, do something, what are you doing?
They completely nullify you. You're just sitting there and you're like,
it's so bad.
Yeah, you get caught in the algorithm and you're like,
it's fucking pathetic, hours a day.
And then I would say we're at this weird time where I almost feel empathy for people that go all in on social media creators because of the turnover, they burn out so fast.
It's horrible. We're meant to post once a week, we shouldn't be. I mean, we shouldn't even be doing this. Do you know what I mean? It's the whole thing.
This is like,
I wish I'd been around.
This is fun. I love having a conversation with you. I wish we were in a world where both of us just did stand up and this was a lunch.
We were just chatting. Yeah.
And it's like, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I wouldn't worry about a guy getting butt hurt because I made fun of Trump a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though I doled it out evenly, I wouldn't have to call him and be like, it was a little too hard. Yeah. I just fucking, there are people that are dumb and I want them coming back to the center.
It's just,
I fucking miss, I miss everyone. But there's like no appeasing everyone.
I do a podcast and I get sent the clips from the producer, and he goes, put this on. I go, why? It's fucking shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's great at picking out clips where I go.
Okay, good.
I go, that was
that's
good.
That's all right, yeah.
Because there'll be times where he'll send me stuff, and I go, I hate myself.
Oh, man, I hate the laugh. I do a laugh at the end, and I'm like, oh, you look like a because my algorithm's comedians. So it's just two guys on a sofa, and they'll be like, have you told you about the time I came in my pants? They go, ah, ha, ha. It's like, it's not that funny.
But by the way.
You know it is. And you can see it in their eyes. I love, my favorite one is watching not unsuccessful, but mid-level successful podcasts. And their friends are millionaires. And yet but they go, we're doing the same laugh. You know, you can see it in
we're
their
doing
eyes.
The when, same exact movements.
Yeah.
Where is my money?
Why am I not making any money?
I enjoy it because I get to have people.
It's great to meet people. Yeah.
To my apartment. And talked like you're gonna leave, and I'm gonna play Arc Raiders. This isn't like a thing where we have a post production meeting and we have to really sit down. It's like Mike and I break down the lights and cameras. When I did Pete Davidson's podcast, it's produced by Netflix.
Really?
And I went in, and it was like a movie shoot. And one of the ladies, I was like waiting. Pete wasn't even there, and I'm waiting for Pete. And she's like, "What's your podcast like?" And I go, it's just equipment we keep next to my dog's kennel in my office. And she's like, oh. Like, it was just done with me.
And everyone's and in
like,
it, like,
don't you feel like you're ripping people off?
The road, like, you know, Spotify paying $100 million. And it changed everything, I think, now.
Yeah,
because everyone's trying to get, and everyone has a podcast. We have reality TV stars who were in fucking dog shit shows 15 years ago. And that will be them sat down talking about their mental health. You're like, why is this still famous?
That's why when anyone like shits on it, I go, yeah, man, it's not for everybody. I'm also I enjoy the conversations and I enjoy hanging out with people, and I really appreciate people listening to
this. Yeah,
but this is all a commercial to come see me.
Yes, that's why I'm doing it, because I want to sell more tickets.
Yeah, it's like
when I do mine.
I would hate if I were funnier. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to go concentrate on my stand-up. It's because I felt like I was on podcast being funnier, and it's like I'm putting my time in the wrong place. Now I can do this, but the work week is one day a week.
Yeah, it's an hour a week.
It's an hour so a week. We're a little over an hour, and I'm gonna fucking go, and then in an hour I'm gonna make another coffee and sit down and write jokes.
Yeah
And right. Then go do Done. Spots Done. You know what I mean? So it is like there is a means to the end.
But just like the guy who killed Bin Laden followed me the other day.
That's it.
He's got a podcast. Do you know what I mean? Like,
number one, I'm jealous. Number two, get me on that podcast.
I want to go on it. My favorite thing is the mob guys, the rats.
That's like, Colin Quinn has the best joke about
really,
that.
Really? What's he say?
He's like, I think it's over when the mob started a podcast.
He's
like, you know, they took an oath famously to never talk about it. And then you're hearing him, and he's like, what's Colin's line? He goes, hey, you know, and then I beat the guy to death with the tire iron. We'll talk about that later. Right now, I want to talk about Dollar Shave Club. It's the best shave of your life.
Really,
no, it's better than the best shave of your life.
Oh, that's so funny.
But it is like you see that and you go, yeah,
it's because You can imagine in the '80s, these guys like carrying a fucking body and a, you know, throwing it in the shark.
Don't hole. Tell nobody.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, yeah,
and now they have their reader glasses and they go, "This thing's picking tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got 5 million views.
Sammy the Bull Gravano doing Better Help. Just rat. You ever feeling depressed? You know what I mean? He's just fucking.
He's like, you know what I do? I take Blue Chew. It makes me fuck my guma in a way that I never thought possible. Yeah. I'm loving it. She might be a side piece, but with my Blue Chew, she's the main squeeze. Now, don't forget, you tell anybody, you comment. Dude, I want to start. Let's just the way we're going to start our Sydney Sweeney Hidden Requests podcast.
Yep.
We're also going to do a podcast of tough guys read comments.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And we're going to have mobsters and mafia bosses and all that stuff. And we're just going to scroll on a giant screen with a crowd behind us.
Yeah.
So they can't kill us privately. And you go, oh, look at this one. This one hurt? You like highlight it. This guy says you look like a can of tomatoes put on a soup. Put on a suit. Does that hurt you? Johnny the Strangler?
Yeah. I saw one with, was it that Michael Francese guy? Him and Sammy the Bull having an argument on Zoom. And Sammy the Bull was like, you've never killed anyone. He's like, I've done stuff. And you're like, this is so funny, man. You're publicly doing
If we had real police in this country, they'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, they go to the court and they go, what do you got? And they go, play episode 47.
It's mad. But even like, if you're a burger van, you need an Instagram now.
Yeah, it's all everything is shifted to that, so I understand people hating the overexposure.
Yeah.
But just like I was saying with the pendulum swinging and like how you have these cults of personalities and stuff, everything changes.
Yeah.
Everything washes away. It's like you can't stop erosion. It's just the water, the waves hitting you over and over again. This shit will be, dude, there'll come a time where I am like in my attic or garage and I find a podcast set up and I go, what if for one, we take it back to 2026?
It's just
Katie and I old and I'm like, let's talk about doggy style. This is the first, we're sex positive.
But
it'll all change and it'll go to something else.
And it'll be like,
it'll be worse.
Having a podcast will be like our parents being in like a hair metal band in the late 70s. They'll be the leather pants. Yeah. This will be our leather pants.
My niece at her wedding will bring up a podcast clip that resurfaced that she's embarrassed by.
Yes.
She goes, Uncle Dan, why are you doing that? And I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was high. It was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Why did people, everyone podcasted back then.
Yeah.
It's it is. I mean, the analogy, Ronnie Chang had a great bit about it, but I've heard it before. It's smoking inside.
Yeah.
We're just all going to look back and be like, fucking
what,
crazy.
What the fuck was that?
Who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who thought that was a good idea. Cut to the ads. Red Richardson's one of the funniest dudes that I've came across in a while.
Oh, thanks,
you're fucking hilarious. Your stand-up. I love your jokes. The joke about sucking dick, that was the one I was thinking about that I got mad about, the Dubai.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, just the king. Do you call the king? You're like, I really want to suck a dick right now. Watch Bugatti Live. It's up on YouTube. It's hilarious. Get it. You know, it's got 250,000 views. Get it to 1 million. Get it to 2 million. Get it to 3 million. Get Red so much money that he's on an island with a shark door. That's what we're going
That's
for.
That's why we do this.
That's why you get in the game. It's not to create. Nah. It's to get to the shark door and ask questions about it, but not go through it.
Yeah.
Not go through it. Dude, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me, man.